Making just a few changes in your lifestyle can help you live longer. A recent study found that 4 bad behaviors, smoking, drinking alcohol, not exercising, and not having enough fruits and veggies, can hustle you into an early grave and in effect age you by as much as 12 years. Fortunately, you can do something to correct these and other limiting behaviors. Stay tuned and we'll share with you many ways that you can look better and live longer. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. I'm Dr. Merida and I'm excited that you've joined me tonight to continue on this journey towards a better quality of life. Go Healthy for Good is live every Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Go Healthy Live. If you have questions on health, call us at 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Or send us a text message at 301-960-5144. In our program today, we're going to show you ways to fight back and prevent the diseases that are killing so many in our society. But before we begin our discussion, let me introduce you to David, a man who realized later in life that he needed to make some urgent changes. Please watch.
Well, it's like anything else. You don't think about something until it happens, you know. Like you may be rich and you say, oh, I'm so rich, I can do anything I want. Then all of a sudden you're broke because the stock market blew up, you know. What do I do now? So then you're healthy, and then you have health problems, and it hits you in the mind, you know. Now what do I do, you know? I was brought up back east. The family ate the normal food that everybody's eating that time, lots of meat and big turkey dinners and Thanksgiving and that kind of stuff, and all the famous desserts and heavy seafood that they eat in the East Coast and everywhere, and I was brought up on all that stuff. But I did do all the things that teenagers do, you know, play baseball and football and tennis, and, you know, grew up that way and learned how to ski and that kind of thing. It kept me in pretty good shape most of my life. And when my kids grew up, we took them out for exercise and skiing up at Tahoe and all that. And then things started to slow down as they grew up, and I got busy working, and I began to gain weight, and sooner or later I ended up with high blood pressure. I was pretty well shocked in a way, because I had no medical problem to say my whole life. But it scared me because my father passed away when he was 58 from heart condition. So that gave me a wake-up call to trying to take care of myself more than I had been at that time.
Today we have two amazing guests with us, Dr. Chidi Ngwaba and his wife, Dr. Uchenna Okoye, and they're visiting us all the way from London. Dr. Ngwaba is a surgeon, the president and founder of the British College of Preventive and Lifestyle Medicine. Dr. Okoye is Britain's most famous cosmetic dentist. She regularly appears on Channel 4, ITV and BBC. Welcome to Go Healthy.
Thank you for having us.
We are so honoured to have you here with us.
We're delighted to be here.
Dr. Chidi, most people think that with all the modern technology and the advances in medicine, that we should be growing older and older and older. Our lifespan should be extending.
Sure.
Is that the reality?
Well, you would think so, but actually it isn't. I think most people in schools will find out that, well, life expectancy is supposed to be increasing. I think we've got a graphic on that. But what that doesn't really focus on is the fact that over the years, infant mortality has been decreasing. So babies are living more than they used to, especially in the West.
And the graphic we're seeing is the graphic of adults, which is rising slowly. And
yep.
I think the next graphic is what you're talking about, where
certainly Certainly. So of the adult graphic, where it's rising slowly, we can see it's compensated really by this child infant mortality graphic. So if children are not dying so much, that means the life expectancy, the average life expectancy, will go up. But the truth is, if you go back to the 1800s or even the 1900s, you look around the grave sites, you see that people were living for about 100 years and 80 years and 90 years. You say, well, how can this happen? Well, actually, if you made it to 30 years old then, you had a much greater chance of making it to 100 in those days than you do now. What's changed is our lifestyle.
Oh, sounds heavy. Dr. Uchenna, how have people's teeth changed over those years?
Okay, quite a bit, actually. It wasn't in the West, there's been a big change. It wasn't that long ago that, as the wedding present, women used to actually be given the present of having all their teeth extracted and dentures, because so many people suffered from gum disease. So from that perspective, we're keeping our teeth longer, so that's good. However, in developing countries, it's almost the opposite, whereby they're now, going into the cities, having a more Western diet, so their oral health, their teeth are suffering, so they're losing teeth. And again, that change for them is due to lifestyle. So it does have an impact, not just for the body, but also for your teeth.
Dr. Chitty, what would you say is the single most important factor around our dietary habits in terms of lifespan?
Definitely. Well, I think even this year, the World Health Organization came up with more information to say that calorie intake, the more calories we take in, the shorter our lifespan. So in some way, we have to reduce the number of calories that we take in. So that is trying to get rid of all the fatty foods, the sugary foods. Those are rich in calories. We are told that if we're unable to do that, our lifespan will dramatically decrease. And that is seen more and more now in the West.
And Uchenna, what is the single most important factor in our diet in terms of good dentition?
Okay, I think for me, sugar is just poison for where teeth are concerned.
Why?
All the issues such as causing cavities to teeth, that's kind of the key thing. So if you didn't eat anything sweet, you would not have any cavities. It's as simple as that. I'd be out of a job practically. So for us nowadays, one of the key factors isn't necessarily eating sweets, it's soda, it's pop. And so I'm kind of 100% behind what's happening here. I think it's New York, isn't it?
Correct.
Where they're working at reducing the size. That's going to make such a difference. So, I wish everybody could implement that.
Yes, and I think New York are making calls to make that nationwide or worldwide.
I think that's so exciting.
It is. I agree. Chitty, we live in a stress-filled world.
Yes.
How does stress impact our lifespan and why?
Well, that's a very good question because it's an often overlooked element of our health and our lifestyle. You can eat all the great food you want to, but if you have a stressful life or you react to stress in a negative way, your lifespan definitely decreases. In 2009, the Nobel Prize was given to Elizabeth Blackburn for a study on telomeres. I think you have a graphic there.
Yes, we do.
And what that talks about is that the response to stress determines little areas in your DNA called telomeres. The longer the telomeres, the longer you live. The shorter they are, the shorter you live.
That graphic is, so what that graphic shows is
a chromosome. Yeah.
And the telomeres are on the tips of each chromosome.
Yeah. The tips of each chromosome, and they actually respond to how you respond to stress. The more stressed you get in your life, the shorter those telomeres get. And that means the shorter your lifespan.
And they shorten as we age anyway. So basically, the stress hastens the aging process.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's quite remarkable. But what they've actually shown on top of that is that if you work out ways to deal with your stress, they stop shortening and in many cases lengthen, which is absolutely dramatic and remarkable.
That's exciting.
So, but it's not so much about the stress that you're in, it's how you respond to it. So you can have two people who have the same environment, but depending on how you respond to stress, that determines your lifespan.
Yuchenna, what impact does stress have on our teeth?
I see so much more stress now than previously, obviously with what's happening in our world at the moment with the recession, etc. So for me, it's teeth breaking. So one of the biggest impacts is people grinding their teeth, literally the, you know, gnashing of teeth with all the stress going on. And as a result of that, teeth break, they chip, you actually wear the teeth away, which is pretty profound because enamel is actually the strongest substance in the whole body. So it gives you an insight with regards to the amount of stress that people are under to be able to grind their teeth down. So for me, it's becoming quite a big problem, actually.
Because our most powerful muscle is our grinding muscle, our masseter, isn't
definitely.
It?
Definitely. So. And not just the teeth breaking and chipping, but people then start suffering from migraines as well, because if you're constantly, all this extra activity, you know, the muscles suffer. So, yeah, we need to find ways to relax.
To relax. Chidi, what's another important factor that may have contributed to shortening of lifespan? We've talked about diet, we've talked about stress.
Well, I mean, there's actually inactivity, the actual activities that we do. We are told that one of the biggest causes of death and disease, one of the four biggest causes, is inactivity. I mean, spending all of our time in front of the TV and not getting out. Obviously, if you want to watch your Hope TV, that's okay.
But, yeah, because we'll be getting up to
absolutely,
exercise every few
absolutely
shows.
Absolutely, fantastic. But if you spend all your time in front of the TV not doing too much, that dramatically shortens your life. What we need to do is get outside, get exercising. That will not just lengthen your life, but improve the quality. That's what we're trying to do.
Yes. And Yuchenna, poor dental hygiene, periodontal disease, how does that impact our health in general?
Oh, there's been so much research about how it affects your systemic health, especially periodontal disease, gum disease, has been linked with heart disease, strokes, diabetes, and all sorts of things. So it's not just about the mouth, it affects the whole body as well.
Great. I'm so excited with the show today. And just like you, I don't want to miss a single part of it, so stay right there. Go Healthy will be back in just 1 minute.
Every hour of every day, someone somewhere is praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Seven, seven, seven. Praying at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 days a week.
Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
Welcome back. We're talking today on ways to look better and live longer. And for that, we have a couple of excellent guests with us. Dr. Chidi, before the break, we were talking about living longer, and we mentioned about diet.
Yes.
What are we going to do to make ourselves live longer? What are the good things?
Okay, well, the good things are, I mean, we said the bad things are high-calorie foods and try and avoid those.
And overeating.
Indeed. So the good things are the lower-calorie foods, the natural low-calorie foods, and that's fruit, vegetables, making sure you get lots of water. Those things that tend to fill you up, but are not packed with calories. And what we've found out is that if you're taking that regularly, you are much more likely to live longer. It actually prevents disease like diabetes, heart disease, blood pressure, and actually makes you feel better.
So it's not just neutral, it's positive.
Positive, absolutely positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I would also say in terms of portion control, it's it's a case of maybe instead of taking three or four meals a day, take two meals a day. Or use a smaller plate when you're eating. Those little things all help to reduce your calorie intake.
Yeah, there have been some really good studies on how to trick your brain.
Absolutely.
Don't have a tall glass because it looks like you're drinking more than a short, fat one. And plates, don't get the biggest plate in the store.
Indeed.
The smaller plate, and you'll think that you're having a full plate of food. Well, you probably
Absolutely.
Are.
Yes.
Lucena, what do these foods do to our teeth, these healthy foods?
The healthy foods make such a difference. You know, everything that Chidi's talking about works for teeth as well. Because for me, even with what I do a lot of cosmetic dentistry. If the mouth is healthy, it gives me a really good foundation to kind of build a beautiful smile. So if you're eating fruits and vegetables, I mean, I would say be careful with citrus fruits, because if you do eat, you know, too much of that, that can have an impact on enamel.
That's a good point, because a lot of people squeeze lemon juice into their water and then sip on that all day.
Yeah, so it's drink it pure and fresh the way God made it, I would say, you know, as opposed to adding anything to it. But if you're eating the fruits and the vegetables and, you know, kind of crunching on carrots, I'm a happy bunny. It's
really
great for your teeth.
Excellent. So an apple a day keeps the dentist away too.
Oh, it definitely. Dentist and doctor.
Dentist and the doctor, yes. Chidi, what if we get a craving to have a cookie? What do you have a tip for us?
Well, yes. Now you're getting to my heart as well. I mean, we all have these cravings. We all have them. So let's be honest and let's get some tips to overcome it. And I've got a little method that I use, and it works quite well.
Uh-huh.
And it is.
Do we
this.
Call this the Chidi method?
We do. Unfortunately.
He loves this. Yes.
Wait for it, folks. Here comes the Chidi method.
It did indeed. When you get that craving, and we all do, you want that donut, you want that cookie. Instead of just reaching for it, say to yourself, okay, I'm not going to deny myself it. I will have it, but I'll have it in half an hour. So you're not denying yourself. And whilst you're saying that, you start eating something like an apple, high fiber, still has a bit of sugar in it. Now, if you eat that apple, within half an hour, your blood sugar will come up to a level that is reasonable for you to be able to fight the craving. So after half an hour, when you said you're going to eat the cookie, you then don't want it anymore. So you've eaten an apple, you don't want the cookie, you're healthy. Now you might say, well, an hour later, the craving might come again. Well, you can do it again. The important thing is not to say to yourself, I can't do it, I can't have it, because that just makes you want it more. The important thing is to say, I'll have it, but I'll just have it later, and take the apple.
So you replace it first.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we call it the choose having it, but delay it, and that's Chidi.
Choose having it, but delay it. That's Chidi, C-H-I-D-I. Yeah,
great.
So whenever you get the cookie craving, just think of Chidi here.
Yeah, that's right.
And the apple.
Yes, indeed.
Lucena, as a dentist, do you have any tips for us to avoid the cookie?
I do, definitely.
Just in case the Chidi method didn't work.
Yeah. But I haven't come up with a Lucena one. But really, the first thing, sounds daft, but actually brush your teeth before. You know, it's that thing of if your teeth feel clean, you then don't actually want to eat the cookie or chocolate or anything like that. So that's a little good tip. And if you do then eat something and you use a fluoride toothpaste, the fluoride helps protect your teeth, you know, from any acid attack or the sugar attack. So that's my little tip.
Oh, that's a good little tip.
Yeah, very good.
Now, Chidi, if we manage our stress well, what advantage does that give us? You mentioned that the telomeres grow.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely true, but managing your stress deals with so many areas of our body. When you think about it, when you're stressed, you release that hormone cortisol, which is a steroid. And when you release that steroid into your bloodstream, it does all sorts of things. It wipes out your immune system. So that means that not only do you get more coughs and colds, but you're wiping out the same immune system that defeats cancer.
Mm.
So you're more susceptible to cancer. And in fact, I've seen lots of patients who have come to me with all kinds of cancers, especially after stressful periods in their life, relationships or what have you.
That's a well-documented finding.
Absolutely. Mm. And that cortisol also increases your risk of diabetes. Anybody knows that if you're on hydrocortisone, your risk of diabetes goes up.
Yeah, your sugars just rise.
Indeed, absolutely. So it's vitally important to try and get on top of this stress. It is such an important issue. It's great that we're talking about it because many places don't talk about it. We just talk about the diet and the exercise. This is absolutely key. Blood pressure, heart disease, all are related to stress levels too.
And then in terms of relationships, our emotions are so much more in control.
Exactly. One of the things that people miss is the fact that if you're always responding negatively to stress, you're not a nice person to be around. So all the relationships tend to break down. You know, we talk about things like type A personality and what have you. So if you're able to sort out that emotion, you're a nicer person.
And you like yourself more too, don't you?
Absolutely.
So you're happier to be in your own skin.
Indeed.
Well, David realised that he needed to make some dramatic changes. His blood pressure was on the rise, he was very overweight. Hopefully, he decided to make some important changes in his lifestyle. Let's watch and see.
You can sit here in the house and think about it and read books on diet and exercise and diseases, and you get depressed reading all this stuff. So the best thing to do is stop reading that after a while and go out and do something. Almost have this lake to ourselves. It's a public lake, but only very few of the public come and run boats. You just let them go down the lake, and then you turn them around, and they come back to the lake, hopefully. If they go the wrong way, they end up over there. This is my old boat club. We have roughly 100 boats in here. These are all free sail boats. These are no radio control over here. But we can take this boat into the lake if you want. Not a problem. So my doctor said, well, I'm going to put you on high blood pressure forever. And I said to my wife, I'm not going to do this. I can't do this. So she's a Seventh-day Adventist, and they promoted healthy vegetarian eating. And one of the ways they do it is we found out about this program at WEMA, which they teach you to basically eat plant food and exercise. And we went there in September 2009. Well, that was kind of a turning point. So WEMA, they taught you how to cook and try to eat vegetarian and plant food and exercise. So then you have to go home and you have to follow that, just like as if the doctor said, go take medicine. And after that, I virtually was almost off my medicine. I lost 20 pounds. We have very little dessert, if any, of any nature that's fattening, like ice cream or cake. We don't eat that kind of stuff. As you can see, my wife's making a nice salad, and we eat a lot of avocado in it. And then the exercise plays a big part in it. Yeah, we go at least 3 times a week to the gym, plus all the other activities. Even after doing it so long, I have to say it's second best to sailing on the bay. It's fun. There's competition because we have races every year. And you get a lot of exercise. We walk up and down the lake maybe 10 or 12 times during a race. I think aging well takes in a lot of things. It's not only how you eat or how you take care of your body by exercising, or however, it's an attitude of continuing on as long as I can. Whatever it takes, I better, you know, wake up to it and do it, you know, and not just think about it.
I love the way he says that the food and the exercise are like the prescription that the doctor said, go and take your medicine.
Absolutely. It makes such a difference.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It does. Now, we haven't covered exercise. Why does exercise give such a marked advantage? You know, I love to talk to elderly people.
Yeah.
And especially when they're in their 90s, it's just fascinating to listen to. One thing I notice, almost every one of them has had a high degree of physical activity in their lifetime.
You're absolutely right. I was in Loma Linda 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I was walking with a lady who was 102. And as I was walking, I was trying to keep up with her.
Yes.
And I said, well, how long have you been doing this? She said, oh, only 80 years. Yeah. But yes, you're right. They have to exercise. exercise does so much good. And when we talked about the stress hormone, cortisol, well, there's an equal and opposite hormone that's released during exercise, the endorphins. And they do almost exactly the opposite to cortisol. They lower your blood pressure. They strengthen your immune system. They make you feel better. So just from a feeling point of view, it makes an awful lot of sense to start it. In fact, many...
And endorphins?
Yes.
Morphine-like substance.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, what? It's like being a drug addict.
It's a natural, it? Getting, a natural
becoming
high.
Becoming an exercise addict.
An absolute natural high. And so on top of that, it's lowering your blood pressure. It's really staving off diabetes. It's a wonderful tool to stave off diabetes. And so there are, in fact, there are such a long list of things that exercise does. It's just a wonderful prescription.
And it also boosts your immune system, doesn't it? Because you mentioned how cortisol really suppresses it, and the exercise clearly...
Absolutely, does completely the reverse.
Mm.
So I find that people who get exercise regularly 3-4 times a week, you can tell they have less common colds even. You can tell that.
Mm. Yes, because the immune system, the fact is it's the viral and the cancer-fighting aspects of our immune system that are really boosted by exercise.
Mm. Exactly.
Euchenna, what advice do you have for people taking up exercise?
Definitely do it and consult with your doctor, you know, kind of to get a good plan for you. From my perspective, where teeth are concerned, if you're going to do any kind of contact sport, make sure you have a mouth guard. Even my younger brother plays rugby and he broke his front tooth, which was, I was mad at him. Asking him why he didn't wear the mouth guard I made for him, and he said he didn't like how it felt. So just ignore that. It's really, really important. So whether it's football, basketball, anything like that, have your dentist make one for you. Not the type you just buy in the shop because they're not as protective, but have one specially made. So that's the tip.
Mm-hmm. That's a great safety tip. In a few minutes, we'll be preparing a delicious garlic spread. Mm-mm. And we'll also be learning how to take better care of our oral hygiene. You don't want to miss it. But first, let's take a look at today's medical news report. Headlines today: fit at 14, early menopause and cardiovascular disease, fructose, sucrose or glucose, which sweetener should it be, and the rule of twos. In this week's Journal of the American Medical Association, we find a study of exercise in overweight or obese children. Kids were divided into three exercise levels, and all their families were given monthly lifestyle education advice. The more aerobic exercise done, the better the children's insulin levels and the lower their total and visceral body fat. So encourage your children and grandchildren to be as active as possible. Women who go through menopause at age 46 or younger may have an increased risk for heart attacks and strokes. These are the findings of a study published in the journal Menopause this week. After adjusting for other factors, the risk of a heart attack rose by 85%. And the risk of a stroke was doubled. So ladies, if you find yourself at increased risk, be sure to modify your other risk factors, especially exercise. A recent study in diabetes care compared the effect of beverages sweetened with fructose, sucrose, and glucose. Researchers monitored insulin sensitivity of the liver and fasting cholesterol levels. They found that fructose, even in moderate amounts, seems to be more harmful than the same amount of glucose. Fructose and sucrose were associated with significant elevation of cholesterol when compared to glucose. So look at the ingredients in the foods you buy and limit your intake of added fructose and sucrose. A study published in the journal Pediatrics this week tracked the weight of 155 obese children. They attended group sessions and individual in-home sessions with their mums and dads, learning about healthy food choices and lifestyle. At the end of 6 months, 10% fewer children were classified as obese. The director of the study gives two pointers. Limit junk food like cookies to two or less a day, and limit screen time that's TV, video or computer, to 2 hours or less a day. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's Medical News Report.
My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So many ways to experience the Bible.
Well, we're back in the kitchen, and we've got another great recipe. What have we got today?
I think you're going to be making, what, garlic spread for us?
Yes. Do you want to read the ingredients?
Yeah. So garlic spread. This is half a cup of tahini, a third a cup of water, 1 tablespoon of garlic powder, half a teaspoon of sea salt, and half a teaspoon of paprika. Oh. Sounds pretty good.
Yes. Now, normally if we make garlic butter, we have butter and garlic, right?
That's pretty simple, right?
So this is a little bit more complicated because the butter already has the salt in. So what we're going to do is tahini. Do you know what tahini is?
Oh, I love tahini. Tahini is sesame seeds that's been ground into a paste.
Correct. Yeah. So just like we have peanut butter, this
exactly.
is like sesame butter.
Sesame butter.
Yeah. So we're going to put that in here.
By the way, tahini is a prime ingredient in my favorite dish.
No,
hummus.
Which one?
Oh. Hummus.
Now, we
yes.
have to have you make some hummus one of these days.
Gladly.
Gladly. I was hoping you'd say that. So, tahini.
Tahini, okay. So, and tahini then, is kind of the base of this thing. It's what gives the buttery feel in
does.
The mouth.
And it does. And it doesn't look... It does not mix very well with water because it's so full of oil. So
I can see that, yeah. So do you just mix it until it's incorporated? Or
yes, it goes a bit thick. And then you can use fresh garlic, but, you know, I'm into easy cooking.
So. Oh, okay.
I know you are not. You love crunching that garlic out of the garlic.
Anytime I can get that garlic... smell on my fingertips. I never pass it up.
Oh, I know. Salt, and then we'll make it a nice look. See how that suddenly.
Yeah. Is that the salt that did that?
I think it's just you keep stirring.
Okay.
Yeah. A little paprika to give it some nice color. Mm. Now look at that.
You can add paprika to pretty much anything, in my opinion.
Oh, and roasted paprika. It's even better. Mm. There we go.
Very nice.
You want to smell it?
That smells great. It kind of, ooh, the tahini kind of gives it this this nutty...
Yeah, it does. All right, now you're going to get to work. Let's slice it.
Oh, well, too late.
Oh, we'll slice it again.
I've manhandled it now.
So we spread it like it's spreading on toast. So before we, that's good. Now don't cut your hand again. Did I tell you about Justin's owies?
Yes, let's talk about my owies,
please. Yeah, Justin took Sean
please.
Very literally this week and he went running as he always does. Show them your owies.
Okay, so...
He's such a hero.
I was out for my morning run. I was sprinting on a sidewalk with tree roots growing on it. And I took a spill. Kind of painful.
Poor Justin.
I laid there for a minute, gathered myself, considered whether I wanted to finish the run or just go back home. I finished the run.
Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Isn't he our hero? All right. Now, we just spread this on. Do you want to do it?
I would love to do it.
You can use a knife or a spoon. Doesn't matter.
The recipe works either way.
It does.
Okay. I'll try a knife for this one.
Mm-mm.
That looks fantastic. Okay, well.
Yeah, do them all. And then we'll lay them out. Yes.
Okay. I think I've kind of manhandled these breads to shreds here. But it all ends up in the same place.
Yes, it does.
In my belly.
This is true. This is true. So when you've lined all your bread up on the dish, you can actually do a whole baking sheet.
Okay.
All.
Oh, this is going in the oven.
And then it goes in the oven.
Okay, I follow,
yes.
I follow.
So then you toast your bread and the garlic spread all at the same time. So 400 degrees Fahrenheit for 15 minutes. And your kitchen will smell glorious. If you're selling your house, great way to market it. So, you want to try it?
I want to try this pretty bad.
All right, you take that piece.
All right. Shall we toast? Shall we toast our toast?
We'll toast our toast. To garlic bread spread.
Hear, hear. Mmm. Yeah, that's great.
Mmm. A really healthy.
Yeah.
Garlic spread.
I really like that.
Mm.
The tahini is, is really good.
Gives it a really full flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm. Well, I guess I'd better get back to work.
Can I just take this with me?
No.
Oh. I'll just leave it here then.
You can take your toast with
me. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, we'll let him take his toast with him, shall we? Well, in just a moment, we'll take a look at some tips on how you can have a perfect smile from Britain's most celebrity cosmetic dentist. But before we do that, let's watch another Ageless Advantage spot.
Trying to lower your cholesterol? Ordering a different sandwich for lunch might help. A 2009 UK study compared the effectiveness of two whole grains, wheat and rye, on lowering cholesterol levels. The study found that rye was more effective in lowering blood cholesterol levels. So when you are at the lunch counter next, ask for a lettuce and tomato sandwich on rye. This small change could make a big difference. Choosing whole grain rye bread is another ageless advantage.
Dr. Uchenna Okoye, a renowned cosmetic dentist, will show us now how to keep our teeth healthy and enjoy a beautiful smile.
Absolutely. And here's my patient, as you can see. I said to you earlier that sugar is one of the worst things for teeth. So you get rid of the sugar, but the other thing you need to get rid of is the plaque bacteria, which is why brushing is so important. So I'm going to just show you the best way to do it. As you can see, my patient didn't brush well, which is why he or she has dentures, so their teeth missing. So this is how not to, be in this position. So I've got two options. One,
right.
Using a manual toothbrush. This is quite a large one. I normally recommend one that's smaller, probably about half this size. So it almost looks like a kiddie's size. A lot of my patients choose the big one because they think it'll be easier, but it's not as efficient. So
why is that?
Just because it can't get to the back. So you want a small one so you can get right to the very back, to all the nooks and crannies.
Yeah, corners.
Yeah. So it's using a large one, you actually miss teeth, so it's not as good.
But this person doesn't have corners.
That is it. He does at the bottom. Obviously, notice I'm saying it's a he. We
it's
women, we're much better.
Yes.
The men. Actually, it's been shown that women brush their teeth better.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. So
sorry, guys.
So the best thing is just angle the brush, so not straight across, not, vertical. vertically, but a slight 45 degree angle, and then move the brush around in a circle like so. So that way, some of the bristles go underneath the gum, because you actually want that to happen, and around the tooth as well. So work out a system so you're kind of doing one corner, the middle, the back, but also don't forget to brush the biting surfaces, which are really important, because you can see you've got all the grooves on there that plaque can hide. The alternative is using an electric toothbrush. Actually, this is what I use. I love it. It's so effective.
But I know that not everybody has access to an electric toothbrush.
So
if you have this, do the very best you can.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And really, there, at the end of the day, there is no difference between the two. You brushing by hand is just as effective. You just need to do it better. You know, you need to take more time. So that 2 minutes is really key.
Spending 2 minutes.
Yes. If you're using the electric brush, again, this time just angle it and press quite firmly. You then don't move it around like you do a manual one. You just press it and hold. So just press, hold, count to three, move to the next one, move to the next one. So you can be thinking about planning your day whilst you're doing this. On the outside, on the top, and on the inside.
So how many seconds per tooth?
As many as you need. Sometimes people kind of don't spend long enough. So I recommend to patients that they use the three-second rule. So literally hold it, count one, two, three, move to the next one, move to the next one. So it depends how many teeth. And
so you're doing 3 seconds on the outside surface, 3 seconds on the inside,
and then three seconds on the biting surface
absolutely. For these ones.
So working out, being very systematic, that was it. So then you'll get rid of everything.
And some of these clever toothbrushes have a little pause at the, 30-second mark, isn't it?
So that you can do time to move.
one quarter.
But what I find when patients do that, they don't spend long enough because some people just need longer. So it's just all literally thinking tooth by tooth and just spending as long as you need to make sure you get everything, get all the plaque off.
Do we need to brush gums?
If you hold the brush the way I've shown you, so with the manual brush, you're holding it at a slight angle, the bristles automatically, you can see on here, the bristles just fit into the gums. So you don't need to think, let me brush the gums or let me brush the teeth. It does the two. And the same with the electric brush, just pressing it there, you can see it's partly going into the gums and into the tooth. One key thing, actually, is that when you brush, if you find that your gums bleed, most people step back and they stop. You mustn't. You need to do the opposite. Bleeding is your mouth's way of telling you that there's disease there. So you actually need to brush more thoroughly.
So it's even more important.
Absolutely.
To brush gums.
Yeah.
And if your gums are bleeding a lot, it's probably a good time to go to a
dentist. Yes.
Or an oral hygienist and actually get
absolutely. Because if any other part of your body, if your arm was, you know, I have patients that come and say, my mouth's been bleeding for 3-4 years. You would not tolerate that with any other part of you.
That's true.
So,
Never thought about that.
There you go. So it means that gums are not supposed to bleed. So if they're bleeding, you need to take action.
And if your dentist doesn't find disease, then you go to your doctor because it could mean that you've got a bleeding disorder.
Absolutely.
So
that's very
there we
key.
Go.
So if you do that, then, you won't have this. You'll have teeth all the way along there.
Well, with that, we're going to say goodbye. And I'll be back with you in a minute.
Okay.
Thanks for posting your comments and questions on our Facebook page. Don't forget that you can call us live. The number is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. And please remember, you can text us at any time. The number for text messages is 301-960-5144. Send us your questions. We love to hear from you. And we're still taking your health questions on looking better and living longer. So anything for Dr. Uchenna, our dentist, Dr. Chitty. And remember, Facebook or tweet us, and we'll be joining you right after the break.
While reading The Great Hope, I found this passage in chapter 18 that I found very interesting. I wondered why I had not seen its beauty and glory before, and marveled that I could have ever rejected it. I found everything revealed that my heart could desire, and a remedy for every disease of the soul. This is William Miller's reflection about his Bible study. When he first started, he wasn't interested in the Bible at all, but he began reading because of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the more and more he read, the Holy Spirit did the work in his heart. And I really identified with that because I found that as well in my own Bible study. As I have read the Bible, it becomes more and more real to me, and God's word is applied to my heart.
Welcome back to Go Healthy for Good. We're taking more of your health questions, and we're especially looking for questions related to longevity and on looking your dental best. Post your questions and comments on our Facebook page, Go Healthy for Good. And you can also send us a tweet, or better yet, call us right now. The number is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Let's see the end of David's story. He's very honest about how he sees his future and shares with us some deep insights into his personal motivation for continuing his new lifestyle.
I'm not a prisoner, stay home, and it's not my thing to sit and read books for hours and hours. I'd rather go out and do something. Being retired, it also gives me something to do, you know, virtually every day. Play golf sometimes, and I do a lot of weightlifting. I go to the gym at least 3 times a week for an hour plus. I walk whenever I have a chance to around here. I go bicycling in the neighborhood or around whenever I have a chance. I go model boat sailing, which involves walking also while the boat is sailing in the lake. And the best thing I like right now is from March to October, I go sailing on San Francisco Bay almost every other week. At least 20 to 25 times a year I go out with this club. I belong to a sailing club. I get a lot of exercise sailing. I don't just go out and sit on the boat. The people that go usually help sailing, so you get quite a bit of exercise. So, and I have a lot of other hobbies to keep me out of trouble. So my wife and I are learning how to play the guitar. And we go to classes once a week and practice at home, giving concerts to those who listen to us. And yeah, I'm proud of being 76 and doing what I'm doing. And I know if I don't, I might. Weight is just gonna, you know, start to go back up again, and health problems will come back again too. And I have enough of them to deal with right now, so I don't want any more. Right now, I'm planning to live to be at least 100, so I don't know if I'll make it, but that's my plan. So I told my kids, don't wait for my money, because I'm gonna spend it all before I go. They said, that's okay, Dad, we don't mind, as long as you're around, that's more important.
Fabulous goal, hey, to live to be 100. I really would like to be riding a bike at 76.
Fantastic, yes, indeed, me
yeah.
too.
Inspiring.
It is inspiring, yeah. Now we've got some questions for you. How often should I see a dentist?
It depends. I'm such a medic, I have to say it depends.
Don't
I? On average, every 6 months, but I have patients that I see 3 monthly or once a year. So basically, sit down with your dentist and work out a maintenance plan for you. But for the majority of people, I'd say 6 monthly.
And not more than a year?
No, not more than a year, because it's not just teeth we're checking. We're checking for things like oral cancer and other diseases. So, you know, seeing your dentist regularly, even if you haven't got any teeth, and you're wearing dentures, it's still very important to go and see your dentist.
Wow. Now, looks like everyone's happy that there's a dentist in the house today. Is the amount of fluoride in spring water enough for my teeth, or do I need to supplement?
That's a huge bone of contention. I'm looking at him because we were talking about this earlier today because we disagree. As a dentist, I'm very much for fluoridation in the water. I know that even in England, there's a huge debate going on about this because it does have systemic effects. But as somebody, you know, if you have a three-year-old and you're extracting all their teeth, and you know that if they'd been drinking fluoridated water, that probably wouldn't have happened.
I'm all for it. So for the majority of people, though, I would say, you know, kind of as adults, if you drink the normal water but use a fluoride toothpaste, but you have to keep using it every day because it's just topical. You know, it just lasts for as long as it's covering the teeth.
Unless you're a child and you eat your fluoride toothpaste. Chidi, I want to hear your view on this.
Well, yes.
Sorry, I don't want to cause
marital stress. Yeah.
I may need a room for the night. Yeah. Yes, this is a bone of contention between us. I personally believe that, you know, in order to sort out a small proportion of people in our society, I cannot see why we have to medicate everybody. Mm. It doesn't actually make sense to me. Yes, I understand as a dentist, if you're just looking at teeth, it's very important to people just looking at teeth. But for the rest of us who do brush our teeth and do look after our teeth, why should we be taking in extra fluoride as well?
Emotional effect of losing all your teeth, of the mother, of the family.
I always say, look, suppose then, for the increasing obesity of children, we give anti-obesity drugs in water for everybody. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense. Nobody would agree with that. Why should
not
we take
sure.
fluoride in water?
Yes, I think we'll let you vote. Let us know what you think. This was a debate. So put it on our Facebook page. Who won?
Thank you.
I like it. And I'd better not say which side I'm sitting on.
I know you're on my side.
No. What should I look for when I'm shopping for a toothpaste?
The key thing is what we were just talking about, which is fluoride.
Right. That would be the thing. Because so many toothpastes, I stand there and I look at them all and think,
there's loads.
What am I looking for? Yeah.
Even for me as a dentist, when you go in and there's so many of them, but the most important, you know, price is not that big a deal. There's certain brand names and non-branded and people wonder which one. The key ingredient is fluoride because it's the fluoride that makes your teeth more resistant to acid attack and tooth decay. There are other things in some of them that kind of prevent a build-up of tartar. And so, you know, those factors are, those ingredients are great and they help. But if you're looking for one major ingredient, it's fluoride. That's
And if you're chitty, you then rinse your mouth really well.
Right.
Exactly.
Good. Should I whiten my teeth regularly?
As a cosmetic dentist, I think the whitening is probably the most common thing that I do. I love whitening. Most people, even me, I'm a dental phobic, which my patients find hilarious.
Yeah.
But when they're coming to me for whitening, everybody loves me, so nobody minds. So that's one of the reasons I love it. But it has to be done by a dentist. I would say, you know, it's one of those things that you don't need. If you want it, and it's great, but take care. Have somebody do it under supervision and make sure that it's suitable for you.
Because it can damage teeth.
Yes, absolutely.
And especially the homemade teeth whiteners. Yeah.
Yep. Nothing on the internet. Have your dentist recommend and you know, walk you through what's best for you. Because you kind of want the great result, but no trauma, no damage to your teeth long term.
Right.
Oh, I'm winning. Yeah. The viewers love me more than you.
No, text message for you now.
This is what goes on at home, by the way.
Really? Well, I hate to continue the trend. Chidi, yes. Dr. Chidi, when I think of longevity, I think of the blue zones.
Yes.
What do they all have in common and how can I apply their secrets to my daily life?
A very good question, actually. And now the blue zones are areas in the world where certain pockets of the world where the surrounding areas have no different genetic makeup to the blue zone areas, but they do something in those blue zones that is different. Now, the common features to all of them are...
And they live long.
They live long. They have, on average, 10 times the number of centenarians.
Centenarians than
anybody else. So it's amazing.
Wow.
So how do they do it? The things that are in common is their diet. Most of them have a plant-based diet, low in fat, low in sugar. They are all involved in some form of exercise, and they have a very close-knit community. So the only blue zone in America is Loma Linda.
Mm.
And Loma Linda obviously has a high Seventh-day Adventist ethos, and they obviously believe in God and they have a community about them. There are places in Okinawa, Japan, that they all come together, they're community-based, exercising together. So it's all about the things we've been talking about. You know, we can create new blue zones if we can, you know, just by doing what we said.
Mm. Yeah. Excellent. And we've got another text message for you. I'm 60 years old and healthy. Should I take calcium supplements to help my bones?
Oh, very good question. I would say it is probably, it's rarer than hen's teeth that people have a calcium deficiency in the West. We eat so much food that is rich in calcium. And to increase your bone strength, rather than just taking calcium, one of the best things to have is vitamin D. Vitamin D actually causes the cells to bind calcium and bring it in. Vitamin D, we get that naturally from sunlight. If there's one supplement I do recommend is vitamin D3 for most of us, especially we're living in the Northern Hemisphere.
How much do you recommend? So this person might want to do the calcium and the vitamin D, but how much vitamin D would you recommend?
Most of us living in the Northern Hemisphere are deficient in vitamin D. So what I usually recommend is somewhere between 5,000 units and 10,000 units daily. Okay.
Sorry, what was that?
5,000 units and 10,000 units daily. Now, if you take the supplements, I take the drops, it works out at about 5 drops on your tongue. It's not an amazing amount. And when people say, well, is that a bit too much? Well, if you spend 20 minutes out in the sun in the middle of the day, that's about 10,000 units. You're not going to overdose on it. But I do recommend it. When we were talking about your immune system, it also helps with your immune system as well. So vitamin D is vitally important for bone health and general health.
I agree with you. Vitamin D, and for those of us that have a darker skin,
yes.
We don't. Especially. The 20 minutes wouldn't do that actually.
No. You're right.
And so, and that's why light-skinned people live close to the poles and dark-skinned people live close to the equator.
Exactly.
Because the dark skin protects us from burning, but it doesn't allow that change. So, well, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. I've so enjoyed this. I'm looking forward to you being back next month.
Oh, yes.
And all the way from London. I feel so spoiled.
I've had a great time.
And you've given us so much to consider. Now, to look better and live longer, we talked about 3 things. Focus on your diet, exercise and stretching, and on managing stress. Go Healthy for Good is here to help you set great goals and then help you achieve them. On our next show, we'll delve into the subject of stress and how to manage it. So if you want to look better and live longer, don't miss it. Thanks for joining me today on Go Healthy for Good. See you next time.